We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
You will remember that I've been talking to you in the Gospel of John, and I'm now in the last chapter. And you remember how Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead, and that some of the disciples had gone fishing, and more or less depressed and so on, and how Jesus appeared to them. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, "Bring the fish which ye have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. You know, isn't that a wonderful thing? I just glanced at him indigo, and he got hold of me. It'd be a good text for a sermon. He said, "Come," and they knew who was talking, and they didn't hesitate. See? Isn't that interesting? What does he say to you? He says, "Come to all ye ends of the earth and be ye saved." Who's saying that? The Lord. Who is the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he? Well, he's the eternal God, the one that made all things, the one who was back in the beginning with the Father, and who was God, he said. He came on his own received him not, but then he turned around to other people. But as many as did receive him, he gave them the right to become children of his Father. He was God, Son of God, manifest in the flesh. All right, who is he? Well, he's one that's been dead. This one talking here. He's been dead, but he's alive forevermore. If somebody you knew had talked like Jesus talked, and had done like Jesus did, and lived like Jesus lived, so nobody could find anything wrong with him, for possibly 30 to 33 years, and had declared that nobody could take his life away from him, but he had power to lay it down himself, and had power to take it again. And then one day you saw him hanging on a cross, mangled and bloody as no human form ever was to live, and then could hear him cry in the midst of the darkness, "It's finished." And could have watched the earth tremble with all the terrifying agony that he suffered. And you could see him hang there and then go back and look at him on the cross. Dead as anybody ever was dead, seeming. And then put down in a grave and a tomb sealed with a Roman seal so it couldn't be broken. And then you heard a story that he was not in that tomb anymore, but somebody put out a report that somebody had come and had stolen him away in, maybe. And then you looked at the evidence, and it was unimpeachable evidence, that he was risen from the dead. The best, some lawyer said, the most established fact in history, that the evidence ever stand in any court in the world. You can't fabricate the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the different statements in the Bible. It wouldn't have happened that way. It's mighty hard to tie evidence together so it's unimpeachable. Lawyers will tell you that. You have to tie it up. And the Holy Ghost in the Bible ties up the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, here he is now. He'd been dead. He's raised from the dead. Now, he were out there fishing, back to honest work, maybe depressed. You've had a bad time. And suppose Jesus Christ had come up there and you'd have seen him and recognized him. There's some fire there, some food. Breakfast was being cooked, and he'd say, "Come and dine with me." Well, how would you feel about it? You know, we read these things, and so much we don't stop to realize the thrill of them. And you walk up there, and he's just as real as he ever was. And there he stands. He's the same, exactly the same person. How would you feel about it? Oh, how wonderful it is. Well, you know, they knew it was the Lord. They had no question about it. And so they went. Now, here he is today. It's been nearly 2,000 years since. And he's asking you to come and dine now. He's asking you to come and he'll give you the bread of life. The bread of life. While we have the elements of bread all around us, elements of bread in the air and in the soil, elements of bread. All right? Now, he that made all things is all things. Is the bread of life. Elements of bread everywhere. But he said, "I am the bread." Now, you can come, and your hungry heart can feed on this bread from him. Physical bread's a wonderful thing. Think of hungry people. I've seen them in lands when they were hungry. I remember after World War I, when I went over Europe, and around the Mediterranean. Oh, how tragic it was as I saw in some countries hungry people. Pitiful thing. Children sometimes crying for bread and emaciated, hungry people. But you know, the world's filled with heart hunger. Immortal souls. Men and women gonna live forever. Live as long as God lives. And the only bread is the bread of life. No man is ever satisfied until his soul feeds on this bread. Paul said, I'm content. Men have been willing to go out and die, so contented they were with Jesus. You know, it's a remarkable thing. But oh, how the devil hates this, and how ambitious men that want to push themselves along, their organization along, sometimes how they forget to magnify Jesus. And they knew it was the Lord. He was the Lord. Wait a minute. If you've ever met him, you know you met the Lord too. Oh, you can have all the ideas you want. But you know Jesus Christ must have been God. How could it be otherwise? Why, it's reasonable. Even the Roman soldier said he must have been the Son of God. Now, here he is. And they came out and they saw a fire of coals and fish lay thereon. Jesus said to them, bring the fish which ye have now caught. See, there he was, up there at the fire. Now, bring him on, see. They caught some fish. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, for all that were so many, yet their net was not broken. Jesus said, come and dine. Come on, let's eat together. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing to have breakfast with him? But you can. If you're a Christian, you do. If you're right with him, you do. He's there. You remember that old, you've seen on the walls, I saw it one time, first time when I was a boy, it impressed me very much. Jesus is the head of his household. He's a guest every meal. He's a host at every meal. Not just a guest. He's a host at every meal, if it's a Christian home. He's the unseen guest or host. He's listens to all the conversation. He hears you talk. He's there. He's everywhere. He's there in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's his other self, and the Holy Spirit's a person. Of course, he's up in heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father and all that in his body. But the person of the Holy Spirit, he's here. So he's there. And you can have breakfast with him. You can walk with him. You can talk with him. You can ride along on the train. Some of the sweetest fellowship I've ever had with him has been on a plane somewhere. Out at, on a ship at sea somewhere. You don't have to get away from him. You know, we go to church and say, walk down the aisle of a church. Maybe it's a modernistic church with a modernistic preacher supporting everything that's bad. Maybe talking wise and all that kind of situation, you know. When you walk down and say, God's in his holy temple and all the earth keep silent before him. Well, the Bible says your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. God never dwells in church buildings. Now, don't get scared. Keep your church worshipful and all right. We believe in that sort of thing. But don't have the wrong idea. God doesn't dwell in your church, and he walks out probably sometimes when the preacher gets up there to disseminate modernism if he doesn't preach the truth. See? Just because a building up here is supposed to be God's house doesn't mean it's God's house. And even if it was God's house, even if it's dedicated to preaching the gospel, and even though it's the finest Christian place in the world, the dwelling place of God today is a body of people. Now, Jesus is up in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And God is down in this world today, dwelling in the bodies of saved people. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. That's the temple. In the old dispensation, the temple there was the Shekinah glory of God was in it. And God was there. And one day Jesus walked out and shook the dust to his feet off and said, it's left unto you desolate. It's left unto you desolate. God Almighty, since that day, has not dwelt in any church house in the world. Never since the day Jesus walked out. He's never dwelt in any church house. He's taken up his abode in the bodies of saved people. Every Christian on earth is a temple of the Holy Ghost. As you sat at breakfast this morning, if you're a Christian, the Holy Ghost, Almighty God himself, dwell in your body. You have in your body the same God that raised Jesus from the dead. You have Jesus Christ in your body, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ could not be in your body, in his body, because he is in a body, the right hand of the Father, up there fulfilling his office of high priest, interceding for you at the right hand. He's taken the blood of atonement and sprinkled upon the altar. And God said, sit down on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And when the enemies of Christ are made the footstool, then Jesus Christ will come back and reign. And then later, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the three in one move out in eternity forever and forever and forever and forever. So we'll see it. Now, wait a minute. This is mysterious, you say. Yes, I know. But it doesn't matter whether it's simple or not. It's so. A thing doesn't have to be simple to be so. Now, simplicity is truth's most becoming God. And God clothed this truth with simple statements. I will be in you, he said. Holy Spirit will be in you, see? Jesus Christ went away. He'd been with his disciples. In the person of the Holy Spirit, he came back to be in his disciples. Now, if you're a Christian, if you are saved, you don't have to ask the Holy Ghost to come in. He's already in. If he isn't in, you're not saved. He said to the Corinthians, your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. They weren't perfect Christians. But it's one thing to have him in me. It's another thing to turn everything over to me. It's one thing to have him in my body. It's another thing for me to do everything for his glory. It's one thing to have Jesus Christ in my body. It's another thing to have him let him take possession of everything. Control my thinking. Bring every thought into captivity, Lord Jesus. Guide my life. Direct me in all the things I do. Now, you can eat with him. You can eat for his glory. There isn't one legitimate thing that you can't do for the glory of God. Anything that you can't do for the glory of God, you shouldn't do. You shouldn't do anything you cannot do for his glory. Because Jesus Christ is your host. And he's with you. He serves your meals for you. If you're right with God, he's there. And even a sinner has to eat out of God's hand to get anything to eat. But he's a special host to us. And we have fellowship with him and commune with him and talk to him and walk with him. Oh, it's so wonderful. And so they went up and they ate with him. Now, if we walk in the light, as he's light, we have fellowship. You know, a table is a sort of a symbol of fellowship. Go out with a meal, somebody sometimes, sit around a table, eat together, you know, round table. You have fellowship together, time of fellowship. Wonderful thing in a home to sit down around a table with a family. Fellowship. You know, a lot of us Christian people that have really been saved, and what life we have spiritually we got from taking this bread of life. But you know, we ought to feed on this bread day by day, the Word of God, the fellowship with it. We ought to walk in life, he's like, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with Jesus, and Jesus has fellowship with us. I commune with him, he communes with us. He wants us. He wants us to commune with him. He loved us when we were sinners enough to die for us. He wants us now as Christians to talk to him. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do. You want anything, come to see me. Come around and talk it over with me. Don't go around wanting anything. Just come and ask me, and I'll come see me about it. I'll fix it up for you. Oh, what a Savior. And Peter said, and the rest of them knew the Lord. So he said, come on, and when you know who Jesus is, and meet him as they met him, you'll endeavor to do what he says do. You'll stand when you ought to stand. You won't take care of number one. You'll stand by him. You'll be true to him. You won't run away from him. And they had breakfast with Jesus Christ. What a breakfast. What will heaven be when we be with him forever? What will all eternity be when there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and all redeemed? God help us to be faithful to him. Our Heavenly Father, forgive us for our weaknesses, our lack of faith, and our cowardice, and our compromise. And keep us true to the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. In everything we do and say, help us to remember that we belong to him and keep us faithful all the way. We pray in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.